What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Making Money. Kind of a special bonus episode today, just me talking about how I built my business to this point and then what I'm doing to grow my business in 2025 and some of the early returns on that work. My hope is to, you know, especially for those of you who are new to entrepreneurship, either just getting started or wanting to get started but don't know where to start, I want to share with you a little bit of how I got to where I am today with a business that's averaging over $300,000 a year and growing, and what I am doing to grow that business and also trying to work less at the same time. So let's get into it. I am a residential appraiser in the state of Colorado, which if you follow the podcast, you would probably have heard me mention that a few times. And I built this business a couple years ago during the worst time to be an appraiser in 30 years, because as you all remember, the Fed raised interest rates very suddenly. It caused mortgage rates to drop, or mortgage applications to drop, by 80%. And so you had the same number of appraisers essentially fighting over or competing for 20% of the pie, in at least of the lender pie. And lender work for appraisers makes up roughly 80% of all appraisal work in the country, give or take about 5% either way. The way that I built my business was primarily through what I'm going to call cold and warm outreach. Cold outreach is I found a list of potential clients online that are registered in the state of Colorado. Thankfully, I live in a state that requires anyone ordering appraisals to register with the state. And so I was able to find that list and look up these different companies that would be ordering appraisals, and one by one, call, email, fill out online forms, whatever I need to do to get a hold of them and try to get some business, get some opportunity. I heard a lot of no early on because of the market conditions. People were saying, hey, we've got more appraisers than we know how to feed as it is. Like, we're not bringing on anyone else. I heard that a lot, but I was able to get enough yeses and enough opportunity to get some work and get a business going and stop driving for Uber and all that sort of thing. I very quickly was able to get a tremendous amount of business and fill up my calendar doing a lot of work that other people didn't want to do, and sometimes doing it at lower fees than other appraisers want to do them at, because I just knew if I could just get an opportunity and show how fast I can get these reports done, they're going to be really happy and want to keep sending me work. So that's how I built my business to this point. Last year, I really, really busted my ass. I worked at least 60 hours a week, pretty much every week. I took no vacations. I had a couple of three-day weekends, and that was it. And I even had to do some work on the three-day weekends, having to accept orders, do revision requests, schedule new orders, respond to client questions, things like that. But it was 1 year. I knew I was building something, and sometimes you just got to put your nose to the ground and just push through it and just work. So that's what I did. Coming into this year, I said, okay, I want to grow the business, but I want to change two things. I want to be less reliant on lender work, and I want to spend less time driving to cities that are 2-3 hours away from Denver, and going out there for just one or maybe two appraisals if I'm lucky. So that was kind of the focus, and that's what I wanted to do. And I built the business to this point, cold and warm outreach. Not much in the way of word of mouth or referrals, because the business that I'm in doesn't really operate very much that way. Like, a lender is not going to, Susan from ABC Bank is not going to speak to Jack of XYZ Bank and say, hey, this appraiser Ben's great, you should have your AMC work with him. For those of you who don't know, an AMC is an appraisal management company. So if you are going to buy a house, you will talk to your bank. Your bank, you know, if you get under contract, at some point will talk to their appraisal management company and order the appraisal, and let's say you pay $700 for that appraisal. Then the AMC is going to take a portion of that fee, sometimes a large portion of that fee, for as their compensation for managing the appraisal process between the lender and the appraiser. So the AMC is the one that chooses the appraiser, and they choose the appraiser based on the appraiser's proximity to the subject property or to the house being appraised, and based on the appraiser stats such as turn time, quality rating. Every AMC is a little different. They track things different ways. And then the AMC is going to make sure that I get paid. They will manage the online portal where we upload reports and communicate, you know, the sales contract, things like that. And then the AMC will also do a quality control process based on the lender's requests of how they want things done, and to make sure that everything that I do is compliant with Fannie Mae and, you know, all the laws and regulations around appraising in the United States. Word of mouth is not really a thing in that kind of situation. If anything, a lender might recommend an AMC to another lender, but lenders are competing with one another for your business, right? As someone who's borrowing money to buy a house or refi, HELOC, whatever it may be. So there's not much in the way of word of mouth. I have gotten a couple of non-lender work through word of mouth, and that's where I was going with this. But that's been primarily through realtors. Now, realtors don't get to help their clients choose an appraiser. Again, that's the lender that does that. But sometimes one of their clients will have, for example, a death in the family, and they need an appraiser for an estate transfer. And if that person does not already have an estate attorney lined up for handling that process, for managing probate and all that, then they will sometimes go to the realtor and ask them, hey, do you know any appraisers? Because the common conception is that appraisers and realtors often work together, which is kind of true, but not as true as people think it is. So I've gotten a couple of jobs that way. I've had realtors recommend me to their clients because of someone having a death in the family, or maybe it's a divorce. Or I've had a couple of people who had gotten a loan through a lender. They really liked the appraisal work that I did for an investment property or an Airbnb they had or whatever, and then decided to hire me for their own individual purposes that were not lender related. That happened a handful of times last year. I mean, when I say a handful, I mean literally four or five at most. But out of the hundreds and hundreds of appraisals I did, I mean, it's less than 1%. So I wanted to expand that. And this is like the whole point of where I've been going for this whole, like, almost 8 minutes now. There comes a time, you know, there's four main ways that you're going to build a business to let people know about your stuff. There's warm outreach, basically people who already have some kind of relationship with you. Cold outreach, total strangers that you cold call, email, mass mail, whatever. You have paid ads. So you have, you know, advertising and all the various ways you can advertise. And then you're going to have, like, affiliates, referrals, things, word of mouth, things like that. So I've already done the first two and kind of feel like I've more or less maxed that out. Again, I have a number of lender clients that I've tried to get on with multiple times that have told me no, no, no repeatedly, not because of anything related to me, but because of there's just not enough work out there. And like I said, roughly about 20% of all appraisal work is non-lender, which means there's 20% of the market that I've not yet even tried to tap into. And most appraisers are not particularly fond of private party work because they're afraid of lawsuits or disputes or having to testify in court, which is something that does happen with divorce appraisals, for example, things like that. However, you know, I'm not as concerned about that. So I look at it, it's like, okay, I've got 20% of the pie I haven't even tried to tap into yet, and there's not as much competition for that portion of the pie. So this is something I should tap into. So then the question is, how are you going to do that? Most likely, paid ads are going to be the way to go. So if you're going to do paid ads, you got to have something to advertise. You know, up until very recently, I did not have a website because when you're working with lenders, there is literally no reason for it. You do not need a website. They contact through email. I did not have any great photos of myself for business-related purposes, you know, whether in a suit or even in the act of appraising, or, you know, just dressed in my appraisal shirt that I have, the custom, uniform, you might say. So I went ahead and did all that. So that was the first part of this year, building a website, did that all myself, hired a photographer that did a really, really great job, and, you know, got to write all that off as a business expense and got some really high quality photos. And if you follow me on socials, you'll see some of those photos in my profile pic, some of the content that I post, and on my website. If you go to rapidappraisalscolorado.com, you will see some of the photos that were a result of this shoot. So between that and some stock images I got through Squarespace, I was able to get a really nice looking website up and running. And with the help of Sarah Ackerman, who is a guest that we've had on the podcast before and will be on again hopefully soon, she helps with sort of optimizing landing pages and all that. So she was able to give me some advice on optimizing my landing page for conversion. So that was kind of the first step, right? If you're going to do paid ads, that's because you're pointing people to something, but you have to have something to point them to. Otherwise, you're just wasting your money. So that's what I did. Now, for the last week, I have been advertising on Google AdWords. Now, why Google? So if you're going to do paid ads, there's a wide range of mediums, and each medium has its own pros and cons depending on the type of business that you have. Now, I have a local service business, right? So I don't need like TV ads. Not going to be super great for me, especially national TV, right? Super expensive, not very efficient. You know, national TV ads are for car insurance and beer and, you know, stuff like that. You could advertise in the newspaper. That's a dying medium, not super great. You could do a billboard. Billboard's not necessarily a bad idea for my business because it is a local business. Billboards are inherently very local. But here in the Denver metro, billboards with a high amount of eyeball traffic are very expensive. We're talking $3,000 to $5,000 a month, plus the cost of getting it installed. There's like startup costs involved with getting a billboard, plus the cost of getting that thing designed, either time cost and me trying to create something that looks really good on Photoshop myself, or the money cost of outsourcing that design work, which could be hundreds or even over $1,000, maybe more. I don't know. I've never contracted something like that before. But I figured that's a really, really large commitment and investment, because then you're also contracting the billboard for 3 to 6 months. So you're looking at, you know, if you're 3 months at $5,000 a month, you're at a minimum of a $15,000 advertising commitment, which is 5% of my annual revenue. That's a pretty big percent of, you know, and that's not even counting the, like I said, the installation cost and the design cost. So let's say, you know, it's 16 or 17,000. So more than 5% of annual revenue on an experiment. And then you think about, how many appraisals do I have to do in order to pay that back? You know, if I'm doing, let's say I'm averaging around $600 an appraisal, and let's say it was, you know, total cost to get everything up and going on that billboard, $17,000. Let's do some quick math here. So that's 28.3. So 29, since I can't do a third of an appraisal, 29 appraisals is what it would take for me to break even on that ad campaign. That's a lot. That's a lot of work that would have to come over a 3 month period for that to just break even. And again, the goal of being in business here, we're not trying to break even. We're trying to make some freaking money. So I decided that's not great. Facebook ads. Now, Facebook ads were interesting, or Meta ads, which would include Instagram as well. That was an interesting thought, and I was kind of leaning that way for a few weeks as I was kind of considering and getting all this stuff together and getting my website refined and all that. The pros of Meta ads is you can be very targeted and specific. So even though Facebook is obviously global, you can target down to just a county or a city or a metropolitan area or a whole state if you want. But you can be as narrow as you want, and you can narrow down not only by geography / location, but you can also narrow down based on interest. So you could look at, you know, people who have maybe recently had a death in the family, or people who've been showing interest in funeral homes, for example. And this all gets a little bit morbid and dark. But if you're thinking, okay, people in the private sector, I'm wanting to target people who are needing an estate transfer or something related to a will, and that's why they need their property valued, then you're going to be targeting people who had a recent death in the family, right? Like, that's going to be the target market there. And so you could target based on some of those types of factors. But ultimately, I said, I don't think that's going to be the best thing, because I think Facebook and Meta ads are best for trying to either do a brand awareness campaign, which I'm not that interested in right now, trying to get someone to impulse buy something, which no one's impulse buying an appraisal, right? That's not great. Or if you're trying to grow reach for a page or direct people to a website, that's all fine and dandy, but that was not really the goal of what I wanted to do. I want to find people who need an appraisal right now, because that's when people are looking for an appraiser, right? It's kind of like a mechanic. You look up the mechanic when you need your car fixed or when you need an oil change. You don't look at the mechanic when the car is running great. Not typically. Or you look up a house painter when your house needs to be painted, not any other time. So that was kind of my thing, is like, I want to find people who are actively looking for an appraisal that moment and then can reach out and contact me and we can get the ball rolling. So I decided to go ahead and do Google AdWords, because I figured, well, people who are searching for an appraisal or an appraiser will probably go to Google, right? That's what everyone does. Everyone goes to Google. So I'll go ahead and do a Google AdWords campaign. And now we finally get to sort of the meat and potatoes of what I wanted to talk about, which is the first week of this Google campaign. And I want to talk to you a little bit about what I've done, what I've learned so far, what I might do differently in the future. And I want to maybe revisit this in a month or two or a couple months and just give you guys updates on how it's going, what I'm learning along the way and in the process, because I think it's just interesting to document the journey, and I hope this adds value to you and also demystifies the process of getting your stuff known, you know, because it's actually super cool. So it took me probably 15 or 20 minutes total to set up the original campaign and maybe half an hour at most. It was my first time ever doing it, never done it before. So I had to even like set up the Google AdWords account using my like an existing Google account, put in payment methods and all that sort of thing. But it didn't take too long. Thankfully, you know, I already had the photos from the photo shoot. I had already selected my favorites for when I made the website. So I had already kind of made it easy for myself to gather the assets. And so what does this process look like? So the process is basically collecting a bunch of stuff together that Google then mixes and matches as part of an asset group. And Google will A/B test different combinations of photos, headlines, subheadings, and similar things like that, videos if you have them, or your logo, and see which is performing better and then give you feedback on that. Now, that feedback piece, that statistic piece, is the one that I don't have yet. Even though I've been doing it for, it's not quite a week today, Saturday. I started this, I believe, on Tuesday of this week. So we're about 5 days into this. I still see, if I go to asset performance here, I still see not enough data for everything. So hopefully I'll get some more data here soon. They're saying, you know, give them another day or two. But after you upload all of your assets to Google, and you're going to pick your locations, you can do it by county, by city, by region, and then you can pick by interest. And what I'm trying to do is, when people in the Denver area search for appraiser near me or how to get my house appraised or something along those lines, I want to be the first or second one that comes up, because people very often click on one of the first two results and I want my website to come up. So then they click Rapid Appraisals Colorado and then they go to my website, which looks really nice. And then right there's a big button like get a free quote. And I have this big banner that's part of my offer of you'll get your appraisal back within 48 hours of inspection or it's free of charge, which is super cool. So 5 days of doing this, I budgeted $49 a day at Google's recommendation. They sort of have this algorithm that analyzes, okay, you're doing this region, you have these competitors, this is what your competitors are spending, this is the sort of submarket that you're in, here's how much we think you should spend to have your ads be effective. $49 a day basically breaks down to $1,500 a month. So still not cheap, but I can stop it at any time. You might ask, how long does this go for? Until I stop it, is my impression so far. I did not set any end date for this campaign. So it's limited only by the daily budget that I have set. At least that's my understanding so far. So now we get into some data that's kind of interesting here. So we're looking at insights and reports. I have, in 5 days, generated 82 clicks to my website. I've had hundreds of impressions. I'm trying to find the, here we go. 82 clicks, 491 impressions. So an impression is how often my link has popped up on someone's page, which are on their phone, their desktop, their tablet, whatever. My current cost per click is about $2.30, a total of $189 spent. Now, from those 82 clicks, I've generated 4 leads. Now, I'm counting a lead as someone filling out the form and sending it to me, you know, so I'm getting an email with an intent to actually pursue something. To actually order an appraisal. There was one that I'm not counting that did come from this campaign, but the person's message just had the word curious and that was all they said. So I'm kind of interpreting that as someone just, I don't know, messing around or something. I'm not counting that as a real lead. So I'm counting 4 real leads. So if you divide 4 divided by 82 is 4.87% conversion rate, basically, right? So that's what I'm getting. So again, first ad campaign ever. I still don't even have stats on which of my photos and headlines or combinations of photos and headlines are performing the best, but not too bad. A 4.87% conversion rate is actually not too bad. $189 spent. Now, from that $189, I have received 2 actual jobs that are like scheduled to take place. Those jobs are paying collectively a little over $1,200. So if we take a $1,200, it's $1,250 divided by 189. So 6.6 to 1 return on ad spend, which means for every dollar that I spent, I'm getting $6.61 back, or let's just round it to about 6.5 to 1 ratio there. That's not great, but it's not bad. It's, you know, as long, I mean, listen, if you're putting a dollar in a machine and getting $6.50 out, you're making money. So that's nothing to complain about. Now, the initial budget of $49 per day looks like it was too low. Right now, Google has given me a bunch of orange and red warnings saying that my ad strength is limited by the budget. And it wants me to raise the budget to $76 or something, or $79 a day, which I may do soon. However, I do not really want to do that right now because I still don't have any stats on what is really performing well. So my kind of thought process is I want to see which of my headlines and my photos are getting the most traction, getting the most clicks, and then pick like the top, because there's like 12 photos and 15 headlines and then some sub-headlines too. So there's literally hundreds, if not thousands, of possible combinations between all of those. And so what I want to do is pick like the top 10% of those combinations, delete everything else, and then try some new stuff and then bump up the budget. Because I don't want to bump up the budget and pay for inefficient ads. Because my hunch is I have two or three of these combinations that are doing really well, maybe five, and the other 200 or 300 or however many there are kind of just eh or middling. And then the bottom, you know, 50% is poor, you know, just not doing anything at all. But I don't have any data yet from Google. They're taking their sweet time getting it to me. They're hoping, you know, they keep saying wait another day or two. So if I get to Monday and I still don't have any actual data, then I'm going to go ahead and bump up the budget because it's clearly working. And I guess that's the thing that I want to share with you as a business owner is you can first ad ever, bare minimum budget, still get a return on the investment. And then once you see that you're getting a return, like try and figure out what's working. And then if you can figure out what's working, boost the hell out of that and then cut the rest or introduce new variants as an experiment. But I really like the idea of devoting like 70 to 80% on like what's working and then the other 20 to 30% on experimentation and new stuff. I think that that's a good strategy. So that's kind of what I'm working on. That's how I'm growing the business. The other aspect of growing the business, because I'm saying, you know, I'm not just wanting more leads, I'm wanting to work less. Well, if I can get more work in Denver that I don't have to drive 2-3 hours away for work. So that saves a tremendous amount of drive time for me, which is great. But also, it more stable lead flow will allow me to actually get some employees working for me. So, you know, I have one sort of part-time employee right now that's on sort of a 1099 contractor basis, and they help with some report writing and occasionally help with taking photos and you know, go with me to inspections, things like that. But, you know, with private party work, I can have them do a little bit more once they're trained and competent and lighten the load. And then eventually, if I get a ton of leads coming in, I can actually get other appraisers working for me and assign work over to them and almost act like my own AMC in a way of taking a portion of the fee for as sort of like my finder's fee for getting the lead and then passing it along to the appraiser. So that's kind of like the shift in business model that I'm working with right now. And it's an experiment. I don't personally know of anyone who's done it quite like this before. So it's kind of, I'm sure someone has, I don't know of it. And I'm trying to see how it all goes. So thank you all for listening. I really hope this added some value to you because I think this is all just fun and super interesting. And it's great to be getting a return on ads, you know, from a very, very early on small budget. And I think that if we crank up this budget, it's going to explode, you know, even better. And now I'm looking at, okay, what are next steps? Next steps are get stats on what's performing well, boost that, like I said, add more budget to the ads. Since I have capacity for leads, I might as well take advantage of that. And then continue to improve the website. I want my 82 clicks to turn into more than just 4 leads. Like I said, the 4.8 or whatever percent conversion rate is actually not bad. It's really not bad at all, especially for something that's not cheap like an appraisal. You're talking hundreds of dollars. However, it would be amazing if I could get that to like 10%, because then your cost per click and your return on ad spend is going to improve dramatically. So now I'm thinking, well, how am I going to do that? Well, optimizing for the ads that are performing best, most obvious, straightforward way to do that. The other way is, again, if I'm having 82 clicks, that means 82 times someone visited the website directly from the ad, which means that of the eight, those, let's just hope it was 82 different people it may not have been, there may be some repeats in there, but let's just say if it was 82 different people, that means if I only got four leads, then 78% of them decided not to order an appraisal, even though they Googled something related to appraising in the Denver area. So that means there was something about the website that wasn't compelling enough. I mean, some percentage of those people were maybe just thinking about an appraisal, but not actually ready to order one yet, right? Like that's going to be normal course of business, whatever. But there are some percentage of those people that are falling through the cracks, people who are ready to order an appraisal, looked at my website and said no. So now I'm looking at the website, the landing page, what can I do to make it better? And one of the first things I thought is video, because when you have motion, you have movement, you have a high quality, like well-produced video, it's going to be much more engaging. It's going to get more traffic, get more interest, and it just looks more professional, more legit. Because if you think about, again, from the consumer side, getting an appraisal is somewhat, there's some risk involved because A, you're spending probably $500, $600, even $700, depending on the size of home you have, where you're located, the complexity of the work, etc. And then B, there's the risk that the appraiser sucks or that the appraisal comes back really low and you now you need to order another appraisal or the plans that you have don't work out or, you know, whatever the case may be. So we want to decrease the perception of risk by increasing the sense of competency, which I actually have. So it's like truthful advertising, but wanting to communicate that to the potential client more. And then also increase the perception that this is worth the money, that like the money is going to be well spent. So that is sort of what I'm working on. And I think having some more video, I don't have any video, so having some video on the website would be really helpful. I think video of me talking about the appraisal process could be helpful, but even just having B-roll that sort of is edited in an interesting way and is playing silently behind the main banner that says, you know, get your appraisal within 48 hours or it's free. Just having that motion makes the website look sharper. It's more professional. It's more polished. It's just another thing to give, again, give the customer that reassurance of like, hey, this is a legitimate company. You know, it's kind of, I kind of look at it akin to, you know, I had one time I was doing this really, really nice multi-million dollar brand new home near Winter Park. And I pulled it into the guy's driveway and he comes out and we're talking about the house a little bit. And he makes this comment. He's like, well, you must know what you're doing because you have a really nice car. And because I have a Tesla. And I don't have the Tesla because it's nice. I have the Tesla because it's cheap because I save money on gas. But it is kind of a thing of like if people perceive that you're successful, they attribute that to competence. And so if your web presence exudes a sense of polish and success of like, oh, this looks like it was expensive. If they have an expensive website, like people sort of infer expensive website means successful business. Successful business means they're good at what they do. So that's how I kind of look at it. So that's kind of the next step. So I'll follow up with you guys here in a month or two or a couple months, you know, just depending on exactly how all this goes when I have some meaningful updates. And we're going to see how this experiment goes and we're going to kind of walk on this journey together. So anyways, if you made it through the end of all this endless rambling, props to you. You're a trooper. You're amazing. And let me know what you think about my strategy. Am I way off base? Am I on the right track? We will find out.